We're back to the Neil Haley Show on the Total Celebrity segment. I'm excited to welcome the program NFL legend Billy White Shoes Johnson. Billy, thanks for calling. How are you, man?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for asking.
Absolutely. I mean, when I think about you and your career, let's go right to it. When you joined the Houston Oilers, how did you decide that when you got a touchdown, I'm going to do a certain dance? I mean, now we look at it now, the NFL fines people all the time for using props and different things. And you must chuckle under your breath when you watch this, right? And say, oh, I remember the days when I first decided to do this and I changed the NFL for a long time to come, didn't I?
Well, listen, I didn't really decide to do it. You know, to be honest with you, what happened was that I used to do it in college, and it was a lot of fun in college. I would dance and do some other antics in the end zone just to have fun and just for our crowd support. I went to a little small school, and I guess they would come to the games. We were a pretty good ball club, and they would probably see what I wanted to do. The first time I scored in the NFL, you know, that's the first thing I did. You know, you used to get into the end zone, and all of a sudden, you were doing it. Because truly, when I did it, and it was against your famed Pittsburgh Steelers, the first time I ever did that dance, I walked off the field and said, here I am on a big stage. I must be the biggest hot dog going. but I went over to ask Bum about it. He said, shoot, no problem with him. If I can continue to score, I'm welcome to do it. So that's how it came about.
Wow. And how did the NFL respond, especially when you started doing this and other players and things like that at first? I'm sure that the media had certain things to say about it, but it was a different type of media during that time. But also, I'm sure the opposing teams and even maybe your teammates had something to say about it, right?
Well, you know, here's the thing about it. Nobody really got upset. It was probably a novelty at that time. And when you look at it, I never try to intimidate someone or denigrate someone. I just went to the end, to the port of the end zone where nobody was there and danced. And it was for the crowd. It wasn't for any poke in front of anybody. I didn't even think of it. It was just one of those things that I did in college that I carried over. But I never tried to intimidate. And they knew that. But it was a lot of fun. And at that time, you know, you had to be very careful of who you danced around because they take it out on you on the field.
Yeah, definitely. And so you did that. Now let's talk about the white shoes. That's the thing that I got such a kick out of, is that you differentiated yourself from everyone else on the field. What made you say, I'm going to wear these shoes too? Not just the dancing, but the white shoes.
You know, believe me, I take credit for it and I appreciate it, but I was going following Joe Namath. I did that on a lark in high school, and that name followed me in high school and throughout the college and collegiate level. Of course, from then on in high school, I never wore black shoes again, but I would, it was just one of those things that a newspaper friend of mine in high school dubbed me with the name Billy White Shoes at that time because I had this real good name and it was a homecoming game along with the Parents' Day, and it was kind of a sensationalized. He was just having fun with it. And somehow the name stuck. But, you know, in the end, by the time I got to the NFL, I think they were allowing players to wear white shoes.
Yeah, but that point, but it still stuck to you, and it's such a nickname for sure. And during that NFL career, let's talk about your greatest memories as a Houston Oiler. I'm sure the game in Pittsburgh definitely is not in 1979, but other memories that you have that were your fondest memories. I had to bring that up, Billy. Fondest memories.
Well, you know, that's funny you should say. We've had our best games against Pittsburgh. We would always split once a year, and then we would have to go to Pittsburgh on their home field. And evidently, they were the better team at that time. But for me, there are so many games, you know, not only with myself, but watching Earl play, watching Pastorini, and
yes,
even Gifford Nielsen as a young ball player coming in during the playoffs. So many good games that, you know, I can remember. My biggest, one of my best games is was in Seattle. I had one of my best returns ever and was called back, having to return a punt and cross the field by four or five times. And believe it or not, I went in the end zone. I was too tired to dance after doing that. So I can remember that, but I do remember that Monday night game when we played Miami. And boy, Earl just had a field day.
Oh, yeah.
So many fond memories. I really would hate to try and pick out one.
The Astrodome was such a tough place to play. When I was a Pittsburgh fan, I said, no, I don't want to go to Houston. No way. Please, no Houston. Because if you can explain that to people, that home field advantage, it was crazy, wasn't it?
Oh, it was. Remember we used to have those lovely blue towels?
Yep.
And
yep.
Then you guys came up with the terrible towels. I remember that very well.
And the late Bum Phillips.
That was some good times,
yeah,
though,
but... yeah, and the late Bum Phillips. I mean, the characters on the Houston Oilers at that time, yourself, Earl Campbell, Bum Phillips, and Bum, the comments Bum would make right before games and stuff, it just spoke to the Houston people for sure.
Oh, it did. When you look at Curly Cole, Alvin Bethea, Robert Brazil,
yep,
Pastorini, Penny Burrow, the fans really gravitated toward those names. And, of course, we were in the community a lot, too. So that endeared us to that community. It was just a different time. Different era.
And you think about the Houston Oilers song, which as a kid I didn't like to hear, but now it just rings in my ears still. Houston Oilers, Houston Oilers. And I can't remember the whole thing, but I remember it. And it's kind of like the Pittsburgh Steelers fight song. Something that fans of that time period with the Oilers, wow. I'm sure that those memories ring so much. They ring in my ears too.
It was an easy song to remember, and fans, you know, of course, in their support of the ball club, gravitated toward it because it was an easy song to remember, and they got involved behind it.
Definitely. Now, your career after the Houston Oilers, remind me, I know you played for the Falcons, and you also went to the CFL, right? Am I correct in career-wise?
Correct, yeah. I went to there in between coming to the Falcons. I came to the Falcons, you're right.
And what was the reason for the CFL? I was a huge CFL fan, and that's another reason why I love you. Because I remember when they first put the CFL on ESPN, when we first got ESPN, I was such a huge Canadian Football League, and you were one of the high-profile people, for sure, jumping from the Oilers to the CFL, right?
Right. It was myself, Vince Ferragamo, James Scott, who played with Chicago, played with Walter Payton, David Overstreet, and Keith Carey. I'll never forget that. And I say, hey, why not? You know, I was trying to, you know, I didn't want to sit out a year, so the best thing for me was to be active. And I, you know, when they made the offer, I couldn't refuse it.
And so you end up there, and you end up, who did you play for? Was it the Alouettes, Montreal, or who did you play for?
Yeah. It was the Montreal Alouettes, which at that time was, we struggled, believe me.
I was a fan of them because of you. I was a fan of the Montreal Alouettes at that time. I'm a very strange sports fan, but I was a huge Canadian Football League fan, even though we have the great NFL. But it was a fun league to follow, really, with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
Oh, it was a fun league. And
yeah.
You knew who was the coach. It was Marv Levy.
Yeah.
And they won the CFL championship.
Just an interesting time. We don't hear much about the CFL like we did when that time period, for sure. And then you went to the Falcons, and you continue to do your dance. And then tell us a little bit about life after football, Billy. And then we're going to get right into gridiron greats and a bunch of different things. But just tell us a little bit about life after football with you, Billy.
Oh, it's been great. You know, I went to the Falcon office for about 15 years, and left there and then started doing some things with high school player development and coaching high school and track, high school football and track, as I'm doing now.
Fantastic. And so, and the kids, they might not remember you, but then you just got to put some films on, right? And they'll say, oh my gosh, you were the guy that created that touchdown celebration.
Well, it's funny. I don't tell them, but they find out anyway. And then they go and say, my dad, my granddad remembers you. And then I want to punch
them
and they say,
their
granddad.
that's not me yet. I'm 44, so I had a great memory at that age for sure in sports. And so now let's go talk about nothing goes better with pigskins than pigskins. What makes football season the perfect time to celebrate Pork Rind Appreciation Day? Tell us about that.
Well, you know, pork rind, you know, the biggest game of the year is, you know, in February. And on that day, that's when we decided, you know, to say, hey, pigskins go along with pigskins. That's Pork Rind Appreciation Day. And in honor of that day, Southern Recipe and the Rudolph Group partnered with Gridiron Grapes. And what they're going to do is they're going to make a big donation up to $15,000. And here's the good thing about that. Is that they got Gridiron Grooving. And how about this? A fan can just go online and go there and create a touchdown celebration. And if he's fortunate, down the road, he keeps entering his name. He can enter as many times as he wants. He can win up to $2,500 at the culmination of the program. And it's going on now until that big day. And because of that, Rudolph will also, like I said, make a donation up to $2,500. And here's the best thing I think about this is that those that are doing the Gridiron Grooving Touchdown Celebration Day, they can win up to $2,500. And they can, like I say, enter as many times as they want. But I do think that it's one of the great things. And they're going to donate that to the Gridiron Grapes Assistance Fund, which helps former athletes who are in dire need with medical problems, household problems, I mean, household bills. Because these guys were the ones who made football stand out today for whatever it is. So what a great company to partner with for the Gridiron Grapes. And, of course, you know, Dick Buckus is involved with it also.
Wow.
It was a no-brainer to get connected with these teachers.
Oh, absolutely, Billy. And I think that that's the great thing is you're right. All the guys that made the NFL what it is today, some of them are struggling. Many of them are struggling, possibly CTE or certain things, and we need to help them. And that's why to partner with Gridiron Grapes Assistance Fund and also Pork Rind Appreciation Day and working with Southern Recipe is a fantastic thing for sure. Can you tell our listeners more about the fund? We talked about the fund and the best place to find information. Where can we go with the best information, Billy? Where can we go?
The best information, if you can remember this, is porkrind.com.
Oh, that's going to be easy to remember.
You know,
yeah.
You know, pretty easy to remember. And, you know, just remember that, you know, you're going to be involved in helping and in conjunction with collaboration with Southern Recipe and Rudolph Foods, preventing, you know, helping some former athletes who are in dire, like I say, in dire need with their medical, whatever it is. But again, what they can do is go to porkrind.com and get all the information they need. And to also play that game. That game starts today and goes until the biggest day of the year for football.
The Super Bowl, right? Exactly. And any predictions, Billy? Any predictions on who you think is going to win the Super Bowl this year? It's a strange NFL right now, I think.
Oh, it's such a strange year. You are that would be too tough to call.
Too tough.
Too close to call.
I was thinking Steelers at the beginning of the year, but now and then they shocked me by beating Kansas City. You can't pick this year, and we'll find out what happens. But, Billy, are you on social media, or are you just Google you? Is that the best place to find info on you?
Yeah. I don't do any social media. You know, whatever you say about me, you can get away with it because I don't check. No Instagram, no FaceTime, none of that stuff. No Twitter. I don't get on it.
Well, that's good. You don't have to. But, Billy, thanks for calling. I appreciate it. And it was an honor to have you on the show. And thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. And I still like you, even though you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan.
All right. I appreciate that, man. Take care. All right. See ya. All right. Okay. Thanks. Okay.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Neil Haley's show, and we'll be back in just a moment.